Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Usually we do it on Fridays. We'll do it twice this week. It's Berg in the Bullpen podcast, hosted by a brother, a mentor, and a friend, Alec Berg of the San Francisco Giants. He's up there in San Francisco. The beginning of a three-game series with the Reds coming into town. Yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles, producing it, 347-205-9631. If you happen to miss it, it goes by quick. Catch the archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Produced by Mancini Media. So without further ado, as I lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic. Alex, how are you this morning from San Francisco after playing that night game pretty much up there against the Braves?
I'm doing great. Just wandering around outside, enjoying some nice weather. It was a little bit warm this week, which has been wonderful.
And let me ask you, how can people get a hold of you?
They can find me on Twitter, and that's AMBURG, the number one, and that's on Twitter.
Yeah, you talk about the hot heat. Southern California is going to get like 15, 20 degrees hotter than it normally is around this time of the year. And I know it gets hot as they go into Labor Day, but, man, plenty of water down here, and stay cool if you can. But I know you're up north and a little cooler up there, but it gets hot. And when it does get hot, it can get really hot in San Francisco.
Yeah, and I think the San Francisco hot is definitely different than the LA hot. I think we start complaining when it's like 75 and it just feels like 100, where, you know, you're out there dealing with 105 and some serious heat waves.
You know, let's talk about the game yesterday. You beat the Braves 8-5. You got an inspired win. Estrada's pregame speech more than lit the table for you. Patrick Bailey's bases clearing, run scoring singles came in there and everything. So take us through the pregame speech. When you get a pregame speech like that, it just kind of lights the whole room up and people want to go out there and play the game.
I think especially when it's a guy like Tyra, where, you know, Tyra's not a guy that talks all the time. So anytime that this guy has, you know, speech written out and ready to go for everybody, it hits harder because this isn't a guy that's always talking, always trying to fire the team up. This is the guy that just goes out there and plays hard every single day. And then all of a sudden now he's like, hey, we got to get this thing together. We got to write the script. We got to do it now. I think he carries a ton of weight and it's a lot of fun to listen to. And I think the guy's really responded to how well he spoke in front of everybody. And then, honestly, how well one of our coaches did translating for him as well. I think he did a great job. So, you know, it hit for both the Latin speakers and the American speakers. And, I mean, it was a great message. It was fun to watch.
Yeah, and then that big fifth inning, you answered the bell after the Braves, took a lead there. You guys answered the bell in the fifth. Boy, that was amazing. One of the biggest outputs this second half of the year, man. You lit it up on them and you kept it going. You put your foot on the gas and didn't let up. And when you look at a series like this, yeah, you can lose 2 out of 3 to a team, but there's positives that you can pick up knowing that if you face this team in the playoffs, you know what to look for. You can find the weaknesses and stuff like that. Am I right?
Absolutely. I think anytime you beat teams like that, like they're the best team in the Big League. We're not at full strength, and we played them 6 times and played them really tough first 6. We could have easily came away with a split, and we're not even close to full capacity for our guys. So, yeah, I think as a team, we feel really good about that, and I think getting a big win last night and then trying to keep this thing rolling, especially if we get a bunch of people that we're chasing. You know, we get to play the Reds, play the Diamondbacks, and play the Cubs here in the next couple weeks. Feels really good to be kind of getting hot and at the right time.
Well, and not only that, and I know we've talked about it, not to beat a dead horse here, but the position you guys are in, battling the Phillies, battling the Marlins, battling the Cubs, the Reds, you get the Reds for 3 starting tonight, but you guys right now are playing playoff baseball. When you look at some of these division leaders right now, yeah, you got a double-digit lead here and there, but are they taking their foot off the gas a little? And when you look at what you guys are doing, this is dangerous times, because now you're being prepared for the playoffs in the month of August rather than start them in October. You know what to look for.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the boys are ready. They're kind of, by the time you get to the playoffs, after going through a gauntlet like this, you kind of feel like you're battle-hardened and you're just ready. It's just another game. And that's so huge for, I mean, really anybody, but definitely for us, it's kind of a veteran team. And, you know, to get these boys kind of locked in and playing good, it'll be a lot of fun.
Well, now you get the Reds. The Reds come into town after coming out of Arizona. So what do you look for in this series? I know you got a rookie throwing today, but with the Reds coming in town, you played them in Cincinnati earlier in the year. This is a team that's battling to try to get into thing too. What are you looking for in this series rather than at least try to sweep them, take at least two out of three, you know, to put these guys behind the eight ball? What's the big key in this series other than just jump on them from the start?
I think it's just kind of neutralize some of that young athletic energy, I think. You know, they've been kind of scuffling a little bit. If you can get out front of them early and just kind of see if you can deflate the sail, you know what I mean, and try to get them in going, try to get them kind of on their heels and going like, man, is this real? And I think once you kind of get that, for us, we can build off that, because we shouldn't have that panic. We, you know, if we get down, we know we came back. We came back on Atlanta. We've been coming back all year, and I think if we can put them on their heels, I think it's going to be a really good spot for us.
And what can we look for with Kyle Harrison making his home debut? I mean, I like this kid's makeup.
Yeah, I mean, he's a stud. I think, you know, obviously he's young and he's a talented and came in with a lot of hype. And you look at his first start, like, man, this dude was just punching tickets out there. Fastball's electric. The stuff is electric. If he's in the zone, man, he's scary. He can be an absolute product of the team.
Well, and not only that, the guys you throw in there, like Tristan Beck yesterday, I mean, they got ice in their veins. They just, you know, fit the rotation. They come in. Gabe Kapler puts them in these situations where they can prosper. I mean, I love the makeup of your team when you look at some of these young kids that you're bringing up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you look at the young ones that we have right now, and Kyle Harrison looks obviously really good. Tristan Beck has thrown the ball incredibly for us yesterday. It was awesome to see him get a big start yesterday and kind of do some things for us. And then Brian Walker has just been phenomenal out of the pen. I think we've seen, like, this young wave of pitchers that just come up and they're all still. They come in there, they attack the zone, and they just go. And, man, it's been fun to watch.
Well, and not only that, Duvall, and see, this is what I always say. You play 162 games, you're going to have peaks and valleys. You're going to have off days. You just navigate through that. Duvall has done that, picks up the save yesterday. And let me tell you, man, to have him in the back end of the bullpen as you guys are heading down the playoff rush here, this is huge. A lot of teams don't have this type of guy that can bring 106 miles an hour to the back end of that bullpen. But to have him as that ace in a short series when you get in there, man, this is dangerous for the other teams.
Absolutely. He scuffled for a bit, and it was kind of good for him. You know, it's good to see your guy kind of go through it a little bit and know that you're going to be okay. You know, they kind of had a little sit-down with him, went through some stuff with him, and he was like, oh, man, that's what I was doing? Okay, cool. Like, let's get to it. Let's figure this out, and let's really go. And, I mean, he came in yesterday, and he was like, your boy is back. He was, that's all we need, because that guy back there gives you all the confidence in the world to be up in the ninth of the game over.
Well, I know you guys will be playing baseball by the time the Seahawks start the season, but you must be getting ready for that now. You put the preseason behind you. You open up with the Rams on Sunday, September 10th. You must be excited, because I think you're going to hammer them up in Seattle.
I think so, too. I think you look at kind of what the Seahawks are doing right now. You know, good team. They're looking young. They look athletic. They look fun to be able to watch. Geno Smith is going to be driving, and DK Metcalf is always a problem. So hoping to get that guy on the fifth team this season.
Now, let me ask you, during the off season, will you get a chance to get up to Seattle to see a game, or you'll head back to Texas?
I'm not sure if I'll catch a game. I know my agent has season tickets, and every once in a while we'll go, but typically now when I'm up there, it's kind of, you know, I'm not a huge, honestly, I don't really like crowds, so standing there with everybody freaking out and 50-some thousand people in there, or 60,000 people, however many you get. Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of fun, but it's not really my version of fun. So I'd much rather spend the time with my family and watch a game on TV, because being with 60,000 crazy people, it's not more fun for me.
Totally understand that. You know I love you dearly, but on New Year's Eve, I know the Steelers are in Seattle, so that's going to be a tough one. We'll be going back and forth on that one, and hopefully the Steelers can get a win. I like the Steelers' chances this year. I think they got a lot of depth. When DJ Watt went down last year, they went 8-2. So, you know, injuries are a big thing. The key to the NFL is if you can survive them. So that's basically what we're looking for in that realm of things. So, hey, when I laid out the topics for today, I said the top five movies. What's your top five movies of all time and why?
I love the Pirates of the Caribbean series, I think.
Okay.
I know that's too many, but that's definitely in my top five. Probably the second one or the third one. Old School. The Other Guys, which is Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg. I think it's one of the funniest movies I've ever seen. And let's see.
So many choices.
Movies are. I know.
Oh yeah.
I'm a huge dinosaur fan, so definitely Jurassic Park. And then be rounded out, we'll go with that'll probably be it. I think maybe I'll just take two of the
there's so many to think you could take, you know, The Godfather, Scarface. I mean, there's just so many great movies. European Vacation is one of my favorites, and when you look at this, I mean, yeah, the movies and unbelievable. Hey, the final question, and then I know we'll reconvene in San Diego Friday if the schedule permits. Fish tacos and the great weather down there in San Diego before you head on to Chicago for the road trip, continuing through that Midwest. Little League World Series. The team that won it is pretty much in my backyard, El Segundo. Not too far from, well, when you think of LAX, you think of El Segundo. But man, oh man. Yeah, I looked at that and I said a 5-1 lead. The manager took the kid out. I think they only allowed 84 pitches. I think he threw 75, and I'm saying just let that kid go a couple more batters and then bring the closer in. Well, he took the kid out. The other team, Curacao, hit the grand slam, tied it, and then the walk-off by El Segundo in the bottom of the inning wins it. Man, those Little League World Series are just unbelievable to watch, and it's so good to see some of these kids.
I mean, what a treat for that kid to hit a walk-off home run on national TV.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hope that kid ends up being a great baseball player, but again, if he doesn't, he's got one of the better memories maybe ever created. I mean, that's so cool. Especially
well, not only that, I'm looking at these kids, Alex, and I'm saying, this kid's 12 years old. He looked like he was 6 feet. Two of the kids on the El Segundo team, but, man, they look like sprouts, man. They just sprouted right up. But, hey, as we wind this thing down and let everybody know how they can get a hold of you, and do me a favor, take the Reds out of the equation, and then you'll head down to San Diego. We'll talk the second game of a 4-gamer down there on Friday.
You can find me on Twitter, and that's AMBUIG, the number one, and that's on Twitter. And Mark and Tony will do our best to take out the world.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to you guys beating the Reds and separate yourself from them, and then start to separate yourself from the rest of the pack as you gear up for the playoffs. He's Alex Berg in San Francisco. Yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. We'll reconvene Friday from San Diego. Maybe some fish tacos. Who knows? Maybe not that early in the morning. Till then, catch the archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. Alex, I want to thank you. I love you dearly. Have a blessed one. We'll talk Friday.
Thank you. Talk to you, Father.
There he is. That's Alex Berg. Have a good one, guys, and thanks for tuning in.